All right, first I want to thank all our investigative partners in this case who have been working with us since this terrible tragedy occurred. The FBI out of the Cleveland office, as you remember, we had a lot of Cleveland office FBI agents who lived in town, and they immediately came on board within a day and assisted us. At one point, we had over 60 FBI agents working with us in the police department. Ohio BCI, who has been tremendous in allowing us to provide them evidence that they've analyzed. The Cuyahoga County Medical Examiner's Office, who again has never dropped this case. We continually go back to them to review evidence with them. Mr. McGinney's office, the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office, not only for their work all through this, but for providing us Special Agent retired Phil Torsney to come on board and work with us. He's been a tremendous asset. The Ashland County Sheriff's Department, we've worked in conjunction with them since the beginning. Also, other agencies such as the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they provided us technical support. We use national data, criminal databases throughout this time period, such as VICAP. And then all our local police agencies that have helped at various times when we've reached out to them for assistance or information. I also want to thank the media. The media has been our partners in getting this information out. And through the media, we have received literally tens of thousands of leads. And it's those kind of leads that are going to help solve this case, and that's why we're here today, to provide a little bit more information. Hopefully it'll assist us in that direction. And I also want to welcome the Mahalovic family, Mark, his wife Georgette, and Jason. I'm sure it's not easy for them to be here, but they will do anything they can to assist us. And been in contact with Mark. He's been very supportive of our efforts, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate all the help that he's provided us over the time. I just want to reiterate what Prosecutor McGinty said is, this has never been a cold case for us. We have worked this case from day one until today, and it's never sat on a shelf and not been worked. Current investigators are still working on it. The FBI is still working on it. So for the last 26 plus years, that's what we've been doing. We followed up on leads. We have reanalyzed evidence. We have re-interviewed witnesses. We have re-interviewed suspects. We have gathered DNA. You name it, we've done it. We've blazed new trails as far as investigative avenues that may not have been done before, but we're pushing our way through. Recently, we obtained a grant through the Ohio Criminal Justice Services. That grant is going to assist us in some case organization and some follow-up work. We just received that grant this year. So again, I just want to reiterate, we have not given up on this case, and we never will. What I'd like to do now is, if I could, is briefly outline the facts of the case, which are probably known to most of you. But I'd like to go through it just as a precursor to what Phil Torsney will be presenting to you. As you all know, on October 27, 1989, Amy was abducted from the Bay Village Square, which is about a half mile down the road here. She left school about 2:05 in the afternoon, walked to the center with a couple friends, and she was last seen at that center between 2:15 and 2:30 that day. And at the time of the abduction, we had two separate witnesses who saw Amy with a white male. They described this white male as being 30 to 40 years of age, 5'7 to 5'10, medium build, dark hair, possibly glasses. Today, this person would be in their mid-50s to mid-60s. Investigation indicates that Amy received at least one phone call some days prior to her abduction from an unknown individual. This individual called Amy and tried to arrange a meet with her so that they could go buy a gift for her mother, who received a promotion at her job, which was Trading Times in Westlake. At roughly 3:30 that same day on October 27th, Margaret received her daily phone call from Amy. Given our time frame, we believe that Amy was with her killer at that time when she received that 3:30 call. Margaret assumed that Amy was at home and assumed that she was safe. Upon returning home from work around 5 o'clock, she realized Amy was not home, and at that point she started calling her friends, anybody who has contact with Amy, and unfortunately was unable to locate Amy. She went to the Bay Middle School, and the bicycle that Amy had ridden to school that day was still sitting in the bike rack. Amy had told Margaret that she had a choir practice, and that's what Margaret assumed she was doing and why she would have been late going home. However, at 5:58, no sign of Amy. and Margaret came to the Bay Village Police Department, and we became aware of her disappearance. The search continued on. Obviously, we were looking for Amy from that day forward. That was our sole goal, and any information that we had was a result of that. Maybe we can go back to our composite drawings, but what was put out subsequent to October 27th was some drawings, composite drawings. What I'd like to say about these composite drawings is, again, these were compiled from, they might be a little bit farther back, but these composite drawings were compiled from the witnesses, the young children that saw Amy with these people. So we don't want people to focus on this. We want people to focus on the evidence that we're presenting here today. So unfortunately, on February 8th, 1990, Amy's body was found in off Route 1181, about 20 feet from the roadway. And a jogger had been going by, noticed what she saw was cloths on the side of the road, and unfortunately, it turned out to be Amy. Ruggles Township, Route 1181 is about 50 miles from Bay Village, Ohio. When she was found, she had on the same clothing that she had on when she was abducted. And obviously, through the assistance of the Ashland County Sheriff's Department, the FBI, and the Bay Village Police Department, we conducted a crime scene search of that area. Some of the items that we covered, a whole host of different items, but you're going to see two of those items here today. And that's what we want to focus on, is the evidence collected from the body site that you're going to see. And with advancement in scientific techniques, one of these pieces of evidence, which has been in our possession since that day, has taken on a much greater significance.